But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as is a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. God can get a lot done in one day. To him, a day is like what it takes a man to do a thousand years, the Lord can do in one day. And what it takes man to do in one day, like get angry, God can win a thousand years. You know, man's patience doesn't, man can hardly be, you know, like if I tell someone to wait one day for something they really want to do, oh, that one day, you know, it's like the night before Christmas. That wait, the longest night of the year, in more ways than one, because it's like, you know, man just can't wait. But the Lord, he can wait a thousand years and it's like a day. You know? What it means is God, you know, it's not just, it's people that, oh, a day with the Lord is a thousand years. A thousand years equals one day to a thousand years. Okay, I see that. You know, there's some prophecies concerning that. That's where people think about, you know, it says, there's an Old Testament prophecy, and we'll cover it when we get to it in the Minor Prophets, about the, you know, the second day he will, you know, on the third day he will raise us up, having to do with the 2,000 years of history, intervening between Christ and now. And that may be, you know, when Jesus came in the first century, and we'll cover this when we do Daniel, people were expecting Messiah because there was this prophecy about how many years they would be and then Messiah would come. And we'll learn about how Daniel prophesied the year in which Jesus would come. That's why they were really expecting the Messiah. I think in the same way that we're kind of expecting Christ in our time because of certain prophecies. But for me, actually, that's why I think it's just a little ways off. Because like I said, we're in the year 1982 since Jesus left. Not that it's going to be and plus, I don't know precisely when that year was. You know, not that I'm trying to predict, but I do know that within my 85 years or so, of my generation, so to speak, whether it be this lifetime or someone else's lifetime, when it happens, when my death comes, I will see the Lord through the resurrection, not through the transmigration of souls or whatever they call it, the transition or whatever. The blessed heresy is what I call it. You know, going to heaven and all that. Anyways, a day of the Lord is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is as one day. So, in a sense, you could look at it in like, well, he tells us, I'm going to come back in 3 days, and to him and to us, it's actually 3,000 years. Or 2,000 years. That's what we don't like to think about that. What if it was, you know, the third day he will raise us up? Well, what if that means after 3,000 years, not at the beginning of 3,000 years? Maybe we're just 2/3 of the way there. People, everyone's time seems so prophetic to them. You know, everyone's time seems so, you know, the times people lived in, I mean, Luther's time was a time of just great wickedness in the church. In the Catholic Church, I mean. You know, in the earthly, which to me is basically the work of Satan. That organization is just Satan's, you know. The kingdom of heaven is like a seed, a mustard seed, which plants, and then it grows into a great tree, and all the birds come and make their nests in it. That's a picture of the birds are those wicked men who privately bring in damnable heresies. And they leave their droppings all over the branches of the trees. Till the Lord come and drive them away with a stick. Um, One day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. There's a lot to being considered of that. It's sort of like, hey, the Lord is patient. You know, if he'd come back in the generation of the apostles, I never would have been born. You never would have been born. And I'm thankful to have existed. Even if I were to not inherit eternal life, all of the good things I've enjoyed in life, I mean, how could I do anything but thank God? Even for the things I've suffered. And I look at other people who suffer a lot. I haven't suffered much. All my suffering is not worthy to be compared with the things that people go through in this world. The things some children go through. I look at the way I was, I had this sort of depressed childhood, and I think, what a pathetic. Compared to the things that other people went through and other children had to go through and the terrible things. That's why I always look at myself as being absolutely pathetic. And evil in a very unworthy way. I have more admiration for those who run off to do evil. At least they got a little zeal about them for the things they desire. Verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, to us who are the called according to his purpose. Again, this verse is not going to suddenly overthrow everything that we've learned in the book of Romans and in the book of Ephesians and all the epistles of Paul and all the epistles of James and Peter, that we are elect. We are chosen of God. He is being gracious to us. Not that he's waiting for us to repent for his, meaning for us to choose him. He wants all his sheep to come to repentance. He wants all whom he has chosen to come to repentance. That's the to us word. To us. That is, in order to understand what us means, we have to understand the subject. Notice in verse 5, they are willingly ignorant. They this, they that, they this, they that, us this, us that, dearly beloved. So it says in verse 1 of chapter 3, it says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you. So what is us? You and me, right? If I say us, I mean you and me. And to Peter, that was him and the beloved, to whom this second epistle was written. Well, let's look at the first epistle. Who were the people he wrote to?